beginning of the pandemic, I received a lot of contact from many practitioners, especially Asian American or Asian American Pacific Islander and Desi. So I actually got a grant to do a program to address the hatred that came up, spiked up. Of course, the hatred to Asian Americans have been here since the beginning of this country. So I have been, as some of you know, my partner's father died about a month ago. So, and before that, his health declined quickly. So I've been really involved. And in some ways, this is my first direct talk about it. We did have a deep listening event at A to Z a couple weeks ago, last week. And so I've been thinking about, well, what is it, right? That I would want to talk about it. And I will say, in part, because I've given so many talks, I feel like, about how to practice in difficult times and challenging events. It feels like we have a lot of those over and over again. And so the thing that keeps coming up, one of the things that keeps coming up for me really strongly is about skillful speech, of course, given that this latest spike, by latest I mean since the pandemic started, Asian American violence, of course we all know, and they've been researched already, that was from all the national figure speech on the Kung Flu and the Chinese virus. We all know this. So that is what I want to talk with you about, skillful speech. So if you could start out by writing down for yourself answers to these questions. You can either write on a piece of paper or you can put it in the chat. It's up to you. And here's another link to this thing. I didn't, like I said, I meant to put the link in when I was talking about it, or the information in too. So again, you're invited to write it down for yourself where you are, or you could put it in chat. All right, so write down answers to these questions. Write down something you heard today that has stayed with you about someone else. I heard here, since we're all, you know, in this, it could be heard as in reading these days, right? On Facebook or whatever, social media or whatever. Something you heard today that stayed with you. Could be in the news, it could be anything. All right, and then the other thing is, write down something that you heard today that has stayed with you about yourself. Okay, so now, for either or both of those, what did you hear yourself saying about someone else or about yourself? It might be the same, I don't know. So, something you heard yourself saying about someone else and about yourself. So, skillful speech, of course, is part of the Eightfold Path. Should I go over what the Eightfold Paths are? that good? Yes? Okay. All right. So the Four Noble Truths are, right, classically, there's dukkha, right, which usually is translated as suffering. Other translation is disease, dissatisfaction, discontent. Sometimes stress is popular these days. And then the second noble truth is that there's an origin for the dukkha. The third is that there's a way to end dukkha. And the fourth is the Eightfold Path. I will say that Gil Fronsdal, who's one of my teachers these days, say that in the really old tradition, just practice itself. Let's consider the fourth of the Four Noble Truths. Now, I will say I have a little bit different framing these days in what I call the engage Four Noble Truths. And so the first is that we actually, since the First Noble Truth, I think, is the hardest, and this is for a restorative model, so then we would say that harm has happened in life, hurt and harm happens. And then the second is, what are the causes and conditions that bring about dukkha or harm and hurt? Now, which doesn't sound a lot different from the standard or the classic, except for I do then say we emphasize much more on what are the conditions, be it, and in particular, that to me that often are reactive patterns to dukkha is the suffering. For like Charlotte Jugglebeck will say, there's true suffering, which is like you hit your toe and it hurts. That's true suffering. And then you go, fucking A, or damn it, Carl, why'd you put the chair there? Right? Then that's false suffering. Right? So the reactive pattern, the anger, the blaming is the dukkha of false suffering. Right? So to me, those are actually often learnt behaviors. We're taught how we should react to hurt and harm, right? Especially since racism, we're taught from what we hear, what we learn. Because Deb's father died, I just was in Tampa, Florida, where they pretend COVID doesn't happen for the most part, right? And so we started to find ourselves being more lax about mask and about, the theaters are open. And so we were like, should we go see a movie? And they were like, what? So where we are, our environment, how we're conditioned matter a lot from our family, our culture, and systems, right? Governments. And then the third noble truth then is, where is there still agency in the midst of harm? Where do I have choice? And for me, when we frame it as that this is something I've been taught, then that gives me much more chance of thinking, oh, I have choice here to unlearn and to relearn, right? And we could say that about being queer, right? I know part of the coming out process is to relearn all the shit we internalize about how shameful it is to be who we are, how the bad consequences, when I came out to my mother or my parents, right away their first thing was like, oh, you will suffer, And then the next morning, actually, my mother said, I don't understand it. I've had some really good female friends, but I'm just happy you have someone to love, right? But the first reaction was like, oh no, right? So then the fourth noble truth is, how does the Eightfold Path empower us to see that we have agency, to see how we can negotiate things that come at us and conditions that come at us, and then how we respond to them. So the Eightfold Path has eight, but they come in three sections, and one is called the wisdom section, which is classically is translated as right, as in really correct, right? In Buddhism, in the West, we're a little more, I actually translated, or excuse me, I use skillful as the main part of it, but I have listened to Thanissaro Bhikkhu, and he's like, no, right isn't the correct thing to do, you know. And I know, having practiced in Asia, they're like, you are stupid if you don't do that. And they use the word stupid really easily, you know, like, if you do that, that's stupid. If you do this, this is wise, this is wholesome, this is skillful, right? So we're just, are you skillful? That's what I've been using. So skillful view or understanding, which is the Four Noble Truths and karma. And then there's skillful thought, or the word is actually really means thinking, according to Gill. So thought, which actually is a very purposive thought. So you could also frame it as motivation or intention. So that's the wisdom aspect, or the third, wisdom third. And that leads into the skillful speech, skillful action, and skillful livelihood. The ethical conduct, the sila. The first is the prajna, second is the ethical conduct, the sila. I like to say compassionate conduct. And then the last section is the meditative, which is skillful effort, skillful mindfulness, and skillful concentration. So our wisdom and how we behave, the meditative aspects are considered the bridge between the two. Because in meditation, we realize what is our intention, what is our values, and then in meditation we reflect on how, when we behave a certain way, these are the consequences, right? And so they feed, and it supports both. Or these actions have resulted in this when I think about the harm I've caused, right? So they consider the bridge. Now, some have asked, well, why speech all by itself? Because isn't that an action? And so it's important, because speech can harm so much. We take a little bit more to do certain action, but many of us would just say, especially I think in this, in general, since the invention of Twitter, in my estimation, people don't think so much about, you know, it's like just whatever you're thinking, you just share with everybody, which is a kind of speech, right, on Twitter. So that's why it has this whole grouping. So here's from Gunaratana, Bhante Gunaratana. He says, the skillful speech the Buddha taught us has four qualities. So what is skillful speech? It's always truthful, it's uplifting, it's not malicious or kind, so then it's gentle, not crude or harsh, and it's moderate, right? Not useless or meaningless. So I call that the four whats of speech, right? Basically, you abstain from lying, from divisive speech, from abusive speech, and from idle chatter. That's another way of putting it. Then, the great thing about the Eightfold Path is they both define what is each of those skillful things, and then they give you practice instruction. So the practice instruction of skillful speech is the how, right? So there are five of those, right? And this is from the Anguttara Nikaya, the Gradual Collection. Says the Buddha said, monks, a statement endowed with five factors is well spoken, not ill spoken. It's blameless and unfaulted by knowledgeable people. Which five? It's spoken at the right time, it's spoken in truth, it's spoken affectionately, it's spoken beneficially, and spoken with a mind of goodwill. Now, I think the first two, at the right time and in truth, most of us talk about that a lot and have a, you know, more direct, I think, easier understanding of that. So what exactly is affectionately, beneficially, and with a mind of goodwill? So who the, okay, nobody put anything in chat before, but if you would, what do you think of is affectionate? How would you define affectionate in terms of speech? Put in the chat. Okay, affectionate. I don't know if it's Kate or Maureen, but compassionate. Is it, if you write to everyone, then I read it. Alan says, with care for a person. David says, avoiding being hurtful. Philip says, kind. Barbara, tender and kind. Oh, that was Kate. And then Stephen said, safe and intimate. Okay. All right. And then now what about beneficially? Spoken beneficially. What is beneficial? So first word's affectionate, next is beneficial. Laura says it helps and doesn't harm people. Barbara, encouraging. Philip, helpful. Stephen, best interest of the listener. Trina, supportive. Carl, with a wish to help. Alan, help a person to be better. Jacob, with a positive intent. All right? And now with a mind of goodwill. There's no right or wrong here. It's just what you think. Mainly because words have different meaning for different people, right? So now I think we're at compassion from Alan, kind and helpful from Tony, open-hearted from Barbara, not out of anger or hatred from John. Philip says intent. Stephen says joy-filled. Jacob says with a place, oh, caring for the happiness and spiritual growth. All right, great. I had someone in my Sangha once talk about that affectionate speech was like Elmo, right? It's tenderness. That's how she defined it, tenderness. Right? And then beneficial is for the other person, not me. And goodwill is a larger sense, warmest intention, well-intended. I just had to really share the Elmo thing because I thought it was so cute. I myself, this is just my thoughts, right? Again, it's not wrong, right? There's no right or wrong here. So I myself say affectionate includes tone and phrasing. You want to do an approach that connects, that helps create a condition for others to receive, right? So you could say the same thing, but if you say, then the tone really makes a huge difference. You know, I was on the plane and we had been given this mask that has its own filter, a HEPA filter. So it was, you know, an N95 that has a tube that goes to its own filter. And for some reason, they really don't think it works, so they asked me to put another mask over it. It was one, you know, one of those blue ones that are the ears. And you know, I fell asleep, and when it had come off, and this woman like pokes me to wake me up, you know, to like have me put it back on. And I look around, and there are people with it with their one mask like under their nose, you know. And I'm like, what? So like, there was no like light tapping, you know, so that's a kind of tone that I'm speaking out, right? It's not the purpose, like it's fine that I've been asked to put it on, but it's the tone, right? The way it's done. So again, for me, it's to create condition to connect. Beneficial is who or for what it's in service of. So you can have the right tone and phrasing, but you want to manipulate somebody. In fact, you know, I was talking to someone where like, you know, some people have that tone that just feels really like manipulative. Like you don't disagree with what they say, but the way they say it, you just feel so like, you know, like they're pushing you in a certain way, usually towards what they want. And so then naturally you just wonder, my reaction is to resist. I know it's false dukkha, but that's my reaction. So. So who is it for and for what purpose? And then the intention of goodwill, right? Keeping or holding to our intention or our aspiration, right? So metta and goodwill is it. You know, we picked Delta as the airline that we would fly because they still keep the middle seat empty. And you know, these days, they nickel and dime you for everything. So I had my one carry-on with this wheel, and then, you know, I had a backpack as my purse that was just like filled. So in seats, I swear, I've gotten smaller. So when I, you know, got on, of course, they give you a little wipe to wipe everything. And then I was just trying to take out my pad because I was going to write some stuff for my talks for the upcoming retreat. And so the seat's empty and the person at the window was already there. So I put my stuff to the side, right? And very carefully, like, put it just on the half of the middle seat, you know, again, just a notepad and a pen. And then as we're going, the person picks up my stuff and puts their coat underneath. And I was like, what? You know, I was like, what? Don't touch my stuff. Right? And so then they were like pulling their stuff over and stuff like that. And they said, sorry. But I was just like, right? And, you know, putting stuff on my hand. And I just spent just a good 10 minutes just going, let it go, let it go, let it go, you know? And it wasn't sharing. Like, my thing was, why didn't he just ask me to share, right? Why didn't he just ask me to share? I'm happy to share, right? Oh, by the way, he put down the tabletop too, right? And I was like, people can't communicate, you know? So I was just going on and on. And then part of me is also like, it doesn't need to be like this. So I thought, okay, skillful speech. What would be skillful speech? What do I need to say? Right? The timing was already determined that I wanted, you know, it's a 4 hours and 7 minute flight. So I didn't want to have this tension. I mean, for myself, and also I just didn't want to have it with that person. I'm not going to really communicate with them much, but I didn't want to have that. But I did think about what is beneficial, what is kind, what is with a mind of goodwill. And so then I was just like, I'm happy to share, but let's not touch each other's things. And you know, the person's like, sure, no problem. But it was really funny, you know, whenever, because I was in the aisle, obviously, when they wanted to get out, they were like trying really hard not to touch any part of my area. So it was very sweet. And I was like, it's okay, you know. But it works. By that I mean, it really helped me to have that intention and then have some very clear parameters to really pay attention and be mindful of how I want to communicate and the content of what I want to say. Not as a manipulation, but really as a sense to ease the tension and because the thing itself is not a problem, right? And I could have gone on and on in myself about why didn't I communicate, but I felt like it wasn't useful anymore. It's not skillful to keep on thinking, talking to myself in that way, right? About someone else. So my time is up. I would have loved to have heard some of your things, and I don't know if there's time, but probably not, because I do have to go off to do a retreat. And I know you guys are pretty punctual. I remember. Carl, you went off. Oh, you're muted now.
Okay, yeah, I pushed something, but I'm back. Lynn, thank you so much for that.